mercy and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If someone were to ask you, what does your baptism mean to you now, today? What would you say? The epistle read in church this morning provides us with an opportunity to think about this question. So, what does your baptism mean to you now, today? In the far-off world of 13th century France, 800 years ago, King Louis IX had this to say. The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head. But the crown he wore on his head simply showed that for a short time he was a king. But those three handfuls of water made him a living member of Christ, a child of God, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Those three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head. In the epistle read in church on this day, St. Paul speaks of baptism as he writes to the church at Rome, sharing with the Roman Christians his understanding of the Christian gospel, so that when he goes there, they'll gladly receive him and speed him on his way, his missionary journey that he hoped to make to Spain. It was problems in the church at Rome that caused St. Paul to talk about baptism. There was a terrible misunderstanding, and that misunderstanding perhaps best be summarized in the cynical assertion, the world is admirably arranged, I like to commit sins, God likes to forgive them. That cynical assertion is a dangerous half-truth, for it is true that God likes to forgive sins. Over and over again in Holy Scripture, we are told that God takes delight in showing mercy. In a few Sundays from now, the wonderful appointed prayer for that Sunday will speak of God as the one who declares his almighty power chiefly in showing mercy and pity. And the gospel of Jesus is just this: God loves us not because we are so lovable, but because he is love, perfect love, who sent his son into this world to bear our sin and to be our Savior. This is the Christian gospel, not what you and I do, but what God has done for us in his Son. But the forgiveness of sins is not license to sin. That cynical assertion is finally wrong. The world is admirably arranged. I like to commit sins. God likes to forgive them. And it's against that terrible misunderstanding, that perversion of the gospel, that St. Paul cries out, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. St. Paul points those early Roman Christians to their baptism. He does two things. He reminds them of the wonders of their baptism, and then of what baptism means for daily living. First, the wonders of baptism. So what happens when an adult or a child is baptized? Although any quantity of water joined with the name of the triune God is without doubt a true and authentic baptism, it perhaps helps to realize what baptism is by picturing a baptism by full immersion. I almost always ask my confirmation classes, what happens if you hold somebody underwater too long? And the answer invariably comes back, the person drowns and dies. Well, that is precisely what happens in every baptism, whether administered by immersion or by pouring. For just as the bread and wine of communion are mysteriously yet truly the Lord's body and blood, just so in baptism we mysteriously yet truly are joined to the saving death of Jesus, his saving death for our sins and his life-giving resurrection. As a wonderful old hymn puts it, with Christ we share a mystic grave, with Christ we buried lie. But 'tis not in the darksome cave by mournful Calvary. The pure and bright baptismal flood entombs our nature's stain. New creatures from the cleansing wave, with Christ we rise again. And this then is the wonder of baptism, that there you and I mysteriously yet truly have been made one with the life-giving death and resurrection of Jesus. As the Catechism instructs us, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. And so baptism is our solid rock, dependable, unshakable, immovable. And so when Luther was troubled by his sin and guilt, or all but overwhelmed with care and fear, he would say to himself, but I have been baptized. And if I have been baptized, I am then a member of Christ, the child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. All that is the wonder of baptism. But then what does baptism mean for daily living? To live as a baptized child of God is to die daily to sin and walk in newness of life. And how do we do that? Through daily repentance, by saying no to sin. And when we sin, immediately crawling back to our baptism, taking comfort in the tender mercy of Jesus, they are given and pledged to us forever. Our feelings come and go, faith waxes and wanes, love flourishes and dies, but our baptism into Christ dead and risen stands sure forever. And Christian living is that daily return to baptism in which we once truly shared in Jesus' death and resurrection, in whose death our sins are dead and buried in his tomb and in the watery tomb of our baptism. And because we have already in baptism truly shared in Christ's death, destroying death, the death we yet must die is but the completion of baptism and entrance into glory. Just as St. Paul writes, if we have been united with him in a death like his, and we have in baptism, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. And that is why in the Christian funeral service, The very first thing is the remembrance of baptism and the placing of a pall over the dead body lying in the casket, thereby showing the truth of St. Paul's words to the Colossians. As many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In baptism, we truly put on the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, in which before our God we'll stand when we shall reach the heavenly land. And so it's no wonder that the devout King Louis IX of France could say, "The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear upon my head." Amen. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.